Descartes' mechanistic paradigm could never have prevailed if Isaac Newton, 1642 to 1727, had not completed the scientific revolution. Einstein, who should know, said of Newton's achievements, "Perhaps the greatest advance in thought that a single individual was ever privileged to make." Newton modestly said of himself, "I do not know what I may appear to the world, but to myself, I seem to have been only a boy playing on the seashore and directing myself, and now and then finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary, while the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me." From our school books, most of us remember Newton, more or less, as a comic book character dressed in funny clothes, seated beneath the tree when the infamous apple hit him on the head. "Aha," he cried, "I have discovered gravity." And we school children all chortled, for any dummy knows that. On the other hand, there is a story of the astronauts coming back from a moon landing. When ground control asks, "Who's piloting the craft now?" the answer comes back, "Sir Isaac Newton." And in a sense, they were right. Without his discoveries, we could never venture into space. An intriguing question arises about Newton's life. Would he have become the world's foremost scientist if the Great Plague of London had not occurred? He was still an undergraduate at Cambridge when the devastating bubonic plague swept through the English cities, killing thousands. Forced to retreat to his rural hometown of Woolsthorpe, Newton busied himself the next 2 years by developing an entirely new form of mathematics, differential and integral calculus. At the same time, he discovered the true nature of light, mainly that white light is composed of all colors of the spectrum, and most significantly, he began to formulate his theory of universal gravitation. Fundamental contributions to mathematics, theoretical experimental physics, and astronomy. All accomplished in 2 years of idleness while still in his early 20s. After he returned to Cambridge, his teacher, Isaac Burrell, soon resigned the chair of mathematics and recommended Newton his successor. Curiously enough, Newton never published any of his findings. About 20 years later, Edmund Halley, astronomer and after whom the comet was named, visited Newton to ask help in solving the most pressing astronomical problem of the day. Why do the planets move in elliptical orbits? And to his great astonishment, he learned that Newton had long ago discovered the answer. He just had not bothered to inform anybody, and was not particularly willing to do so now. Finally, Halley persuaded a reluctant Newton to write a book disclosing his theories on the provision that Halley would arrange the printing and pay the cost. In this single book, Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy, of physics, in those days was called natural philosophy, published in 1687, Newton summarized his discoveries in terrestrial and celestial mathematics. The exploration of all the principal types of motion we can observe on Earth and in the heavens. A major landmark in the history of science. Synthesizing the previous contributions of Copernicus, Bruno, Kepler, Galileo, and Descartes, and then adding his own touch of genius, Newton reduced all movement to three laws of motion. The first law, often called the law of inertia, is the simplest and the most basic. A body continues in a state of rest or of uniform motion in a straight line unless it is compelled to change that state by forces impressed upon it. The second law describes what effect an external force has on the motion of a body, and it's sometimes abbreviated to the statement, force equals mass times acceleration. The third law, perhaps Newton's only original contribution, to every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Newton begins his book by stating these three laws as axioms, and then proposes all motions on Earth or in the solar system can be explained by adding one more basic law. As he himself writes, I now demonstrate the frame of the system of the world. In other words, what makes the universe hang together? The law of universal gravitation. Quote, every body attracts every other body with a force directly proportional to the square of the distance between them. End of quote. And there you have it. Four laws that explain ocean tides, an apple falling to the earth, a stone rolling down the mountain, the motions of the moon, the elliptical orbits of planets, the precession of the equinoxes, the oscillations of a pendulum, the mysterious orbits of the comets. He literally explained everything then known about motion. But Newton's mathematical model quickly assumed the status of official reality, the proven reality of Descartes' clockwork universe. So in the 18th century, that is 18th century Europe, Newton became the intellectual sage of the times, much like Einstein in our century. He was elected president of the Royal Society, the most prestigious post in all of science, appointed Master of the Mint, and finally knighted for his services. To his contemporaries, he well deserved the epitaph penned by Alexander Pope. Nature and nature's laws lay hid in the night. God said, let Newton be, and all was light. And yet, Sir Isaac Newton was not what he appeared to be. A bare recitation of his achievements may illustrate his scientific creativity, but does little to illuminate his complex temperament. The general public knew him as a generous-spirited individual. I remember him saying, "If I have seen farther than others, it is because I have stood on the shoulder of giants." Nevertheless, to his few intimates, he displayed a moody, secretive, almost paranoid personality. His unwillingness to publish his discoveries hint at the dark side of his disposition. His childhood reads like a Freudian case history. Born prematurely, right after the death of his father, Newton was not expected to live. Only the fanatical devotion of his mother brought him to health. But when he was 4 years old, she left him in the care of his grandmother and married again. Evidently, he could never overcome a sense of abandonment. Biographers claim he remained a virgin all his life. Occasionally, his paranoid tendencies would erupt into bitter controversial arguments with other scientists, so antithetical to his public image. Some recent studies suggest his increased melancholic reclusiveness resulted from his many chemical experiments with arsenic and mercury in a period when they tasted chemicals for an analysis of purity. Still, even as a young man, he tended to be reticent and secretive. As it turns out, with good reason. He led a double life. His true passion lay with the occult and the esoteric. Belief in the Christian Trinity, and became a monotheist. A monotheist in a rather murky, tangled, occult version of the school of Maimonides, the great Jewish rabbi and philosopher. Since the revealed God could only be one God, Newton believed the New Testament had been falsified to present Jesus as a Son of God. John Maynard Keynes, Newton's biographer, wrote, "This was a terrible secret, which Newton was at desperate pains to conceal all his life." Now you can understand his legitimate paranoia. A renegade Christian in the England of his day? Civil war between Cromwell's Puritans and the Anglican Royalist army of Charles I began the year of his birth. When he was 7, the victorious Cromwell beheaded the king. By the time Newton had reached his late teens, Cromwell died, and Charles II returned to the throne. Altogether, one of the bloodiest periods of religious fanaticism in the history of Britain. Not exactly the time nor the place to renounce the divinity of Christ. If his religious beliefs had been known, he would never have been admitted to any university, which required a profession of the Anglican faith. If his secret had come out after his book had been published, how long would it take for the public to denounce him and his discoveries? There'd been no Royal Society, no knighthood. In spite of the dangers of disclosure, Newton continued the practice of his beliefs and wrote voluminous notes, something like 50 volumes never published, on alchemy, esoteric theologies, apocalyptic texts, and all manner of occult speculations. How ironic. Sir Isaac Newton, acclaimed first among scientists, was also the last of the magicians.